What's going on, gang? Welcome to Basu Podcast, episode 117. We've got a good one for you this week. This one is for the sports fans. I was joined by the big bad Rowan Bray to discuss important sporting events that have taken place recently. Probably most importantly, the Base 3 Inferno Week. Rowan and I spent a bunch of time discussing the latest edition of the week-long slog, as well as our attempts to beat each other and to beat Tyler in the coach Inferno. We discussed some impressive performances that have happened in the gym. At the release of this podcast, we're not yet finished, so we don't know who the winners are or who the people are completing it. The point of the Inferno Week was to create six really challenging workouts. They're not supposed to be completable. They are supposed to be very tough. We're not expecting a high amount of people to get through all the six workouts. It's just an opportunity for you to test yourself in the gym. So everybody that did amazingly, everyone that got really close to finishing it, well done to you guys. Give yourself a pat on the back. It was supposed to be extremely challenging. Other less eventful events that you may or may not have heard of, like the Olympics and the CrossFit Games, we discussed those as well. Spent a bunch of time breaking down the 2021 CrossFit Games. We shared our thoughts on the performances of the best athletes in the world, as well as our thoughts on the events and the kind of longevity of the athletes who we think will be around in 20 years and who we think might not be around next year. We spent a bit of time as well discussing the difference between competing and training, and when is a good time to compete in a workout and when is a good time to train. Broke down the benefits of each and the reasons why you would choose to do one or the other, and why competing is necessary but not great for longevity in training, and why training will probably end up getting you more progress in the long run. I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you enjoy me and rambling for almost an hour. Please go ahead and enjoy episode 117 of the Basu Podcast. All right, we're actually recording now. Very nice. Jesus. What's up, team? Rowan, what's good?
I'm going on holiday tomorrow morning.
How excited are you?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
11.
And a half.
11 and a half.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
We're feeling good.
Where are you going?
Heading to the Maldives, 4 nights, 5 days. Feel free to come join us.
Very jealous.
Very jealous. You'll be coming soon after, hopefully.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. I feel like you can't trust anyone that says inshallah.
Yeah, that's like, it's not going to happen, but I don't want to say no.
Yeah, but
it's like when someone breaks up with you and they say, it's not you, it's me.
It's kind of like someone saying, look,
it's definitely you.
I'm not really going to be that honest with you. So you're like, how can you trust those people?
I don't want to say no to you, but I'm not going to do it.
Never trust someone who says inshallah.
Well, no, not never. I think never trust a white person that says inshallah. I think there's people who believe in Islam that would say that and actually mean it. Some people are just dicks and wouldn't, but I think some people would actually say that genuinely. Oh yeah, hopefully it'll work out. I could think of a few people that'll.
How's the coffee?
Steaming hot, so I'm not drinking it yet. I still don't get why people don't drink coffee. I don't understand.
As in me and Tyler.
Mostly you and Tyler, yeah.
Lunatics.
So we're not through yet, but what's been your most impressive Inferno performance yet?
From our guys.
From
everyone competing.
The guys who are still doing it.
Yeah. So far. Ooh.
So we're recording this on Wednesday. So we've just done the Devil's Mars one. We're four down and there's two left. Well, two and a half left.
Honestly, I think Angeli.
The bike row one yesterday was incredible.
That was unexpected, yeah. And just like her progress over the last 2-3 weeks in her gymnastics has been massive, so.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a shock coming into these workouts, thinking that she might struggle, and did not at all.
Tomorrow will be a good test. It's a few pull-ups tomorrow. 153 pull-ups in tomorrow's workout. This won't be out until tomorrow. So today's workout, technically, is 153 pull-ups. So we'll see how they fare on that. I think, Angeli's been amazing. The Devil's Miles ones today. And I thought she was struggling at 35-pound dumbbell, but made light work of it. And then hammered the runs, made up the time on the runs. Poor Alok was 6 seconds shy.
That's heartbreaking.
6 seconds into a 35-minute workout and you're just short. That's like one rep faster.
Cutthroat.
If you've just done one rep faster. And I came in and I think there was a look in his eye of just like, oh, is that good enough?
Will they let me off?
Hard no.
Zero.
We don't like.
What about you?
Angie Kafafi, who's doing them in Egypt, hit 356 yesterday on the bike row one.
Massive score.
Huge score. Nobody, guys and girls, hit the life. So there was the 300 or 400 target, and then there's a 350, 400 bonus. Nobody got it apart from Angie, got 356.
Yeah, so nobody in the gym at the time.
Nah. Couple guys were short. Tracy Close. Was two short. Scott Thwaites was four short. Nico was 12 short. Couple guys were really close, but no one actually hit it. So that was impressive.
What did you make of that workout?
The bike row one.
I think that was, for me,
the hardest workout. I didn't, but for two reasons, I've done it before, that exact workout.
Yeah.
That was a base workout a couple months ago, so I kind of knew I'm not going to die. You know, when you've done something before and you're like, yeah, it'll be all right. And I think I had a better plan going into this one based on experience. And I knew, against you two especially, the row was a weakness compared to the bike. So I leaned on the bike a little bit more. So I was more aggressive on the bike than I was last time and less aggressive on the row, which I think played out quite well. So that one wasn't too bad. I think having a good plan going into that one saved me. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I think I might have been a bit aggressive.
What started on the bike?
Yeah, I think I started on both of them at like 30 cals each and then dropped to like in the later rounds, low 20s.
Did you stay above 20 on everything all the time? You didn't have a...
I stayed above 20, yeah.
Man, Tyler's lowest row was 27. His bike was a bit lower, but his lowest row was 27. Mine was 21.
Mine was probably similar, 21.
I had a 21 on my row, it was my worst. My worst bike was 24. That was...
Who knew Tyler was good on the machines?
Hammering the bike. Young Tyler, the apprentice, good on the machines. Even yesterday, we did skier yesterday, and he was like... Slow pace was 144, and then when he was pushing, it was 134. I'm not very experienced on the ski, but I was dying to hold 144. It was trashing me to hold a minute at 144. Loves a machine, that boy.
Loves a machine.
Not so much a run.
Hates a run.
Hates a run.
Mm.
So we did them last week, and it ended up being a three-way tie, technically. On a technicality, we all drew, which was, I thought, was quite interesting. I think I never expected it to land 2-2-2. Who would have thought all three each other in different disciplines?
Yeah, it kind of definitely went out a lot different to what I think we all expected.
100%.
We all did well in workouts we didn't think we'd do well in. And
especially like the ones that I thought I would do well on, the ones where I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick up the point here, didn't. Like the farmers one, I thought I'd fly through that one, but came
we all hard, thought like you'd a win hard that.
Last on that one.
I thought I was going to win the bike and row.
Same.
And I came last.
Yeah.
How wrong were we?
So wrong.
And then like even on the three Karen, we predicted I'd come in first on a run, you come in second, Tyler would come in third.
Which happened.
We
but the gaps were nowhere near.
It would slow us down massively, and it didn't.
We thought the gaps on the runs would be much bigger, but everyone was way quicker.
Yeah, and Tyler was a lot faster than what we thought he would be.
Like 4 minutes quicker than what we thought it'd be.
Yeah, so we thought I was going to be 15-ish.
I was going to be 16 and a half.
And Tyler was going to be 18.
Yeah.
And I was
12 and a half.
12 and a half.
I was 12:45 and Tyler was 14.
Which is way faster than what we thought it was going to be.
Rapid pace. It's a terrible idea.
So yeah, we got that one wrong.
Yeah. What's funny though is the ones that you did well on with the running. Mm. So like the ones that you did well on weren't necessarily the running based workouts.
Yeah.
Or you were. Because I was like, oh, Rowan's a much stronger runner. He'll hammer those workouts.
Yeah.
But then the ones that I did better on were the big damn one, which was a lot of running, and the three cam one. But then I made like a small gap on the run to make up, but it wasn't the running where I won it.
No.
So the running wasn't the deciding factor on those workouts, which I thought they would be.
Yeah, we thought running would play a big part in a lot of these workouts, and it did not.
No.
Like, I didn't win a running. Oh, I suppose I won the Devil's Mile.
Yeah.
But
And you won that on the runs. Because your last run was quick.
Last one was quick. But and then I won the... farmers.
In fact, would I say that maybe it was a devil's press? I think you were just a quick, because you started first, but you weren't that far ahead.
I went 50 unbroken at start, and I think I was just going at a slightly faster cycle pace.
Yeah. So I don't think it was the runs that you won that. I think it was definitely the devil's press. You worked hard on devil's press.
Yeah. And I think for, let's say, the big den.
Yeah.
The 200, 400, 800. I don't think, like, no matter how good you are, you're not going to make up time on those.
Yeah, it's how you break up the reps rather than.
Compared to you, I wasn't going to make up any time.
So if you ran each of those runs 5 or 10 seconds quicker either side, that's not going to impact how many breaks you take on the
thrusters.
Yeah. Or the pull-ups even.
Yeah, and you made up time on those. All right, and on the pogos.
Yeah. I think we were... I can't remember how much. I was on the 35 pogos when you started. And I don't know what I was on when you finished. But that was my target, to be halfway through by the time you started.
Yeah, my target was to stay ahead from the start. And that didn't happen.
Fun workouts, though.
Yeah. Good variety.
Not super exciting to coach. Fun to watch.
No, but yes as well, in the fact that, like, because we've got a big competition on and everyone's competing in these kind of things, it's kind of, you're rooting for everybody.
Yeah.
And you want everyone to do well, which makes it a lot more interesting. So you're like watching the clock more, being like, oh, he's this far into this, and there's a lot more talk about it. So it's just really interesting.
It has been exciting to watch people get through. We've got gone from, I think there was like 15 names on the board after the first workout, or 17 something, down to 3 with 2 days left. So it's like, I think Trace and Andrew will both finish it. Ashutosh has got a big fight in his hands tonight, but I think the girls will both get it.
That'll be interesting. What do they have? They've got Farmers left.
And then they've got one that we didn't finish.
Base Triangle.
Yeah.
And then?
Desert One doesn't count. There's just the final workout, but if you get all 6, then you finished it.
Oh, okay.
Because I think forcing people to get up at 6 on a Saturday morning to go out into an unknown location is a bit of an ask.
Bit of an ask.
But yeah, so... it wrecked me during that week. I know you've said it was a tough week.
Whoa, man.
But I think, and then everyone else has been the same. So everyone who's done it is obviously competing with trying to keep on the board or trying to push against other people. But I think for us, the challenge was we were racing each other. It was just into a massive pissing contest. And there was a lot of shit talking through the week and calling each other out and whatever, whatever. And I think that was the intensity.
Yeah.
Like, it was hard. The workouts were hard, but we could have finished them all in the time caps and worked much less.
It could have felt fine throughout the week.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of the workouts we finished way under the time gaps. And we could have afforded to go a lot slower and felt fine and gone into the next day feeling a lot better.
Yeah, for sure.
It was just the race mentality.
Yeah. Of, like, and putting the point system against each other versus just who finished the more, but going points for points and see who's going to get the most points. And it ended up 2-2-2. But I think if none of us cared about it and we just did it to finish it, it wouldn't have been as hard a week.
No.
I think it was, the intensity definitely came from competing versus training and doing the workouts as training, which we've been speaking about this for the last couple of weeks, about how we do the Big Friday session is our like competition session for the week. So you can't have as many training days through the week that are that intense, because you need to save it for the Big Friday session. And we've had a couple of weeks, so we've had, I think there was some socializing that played a factor in it as well, but there was a couple of weeks, so we'd had a hard week's training, then gone into Friday and just felt pretty useless. Mm. We were discussing that, we should set our week up so there's one day a week, or maybe even two, where we can afford to really push the pace and drive really hard into training. Whereas we just did that for 7 days straight, or 6 days straight anyway, and it just broke me.
By day like 3 and 4, we were like, I don't really want to do this workout. It's not like don't want to do this workout, do want to do this workout, do want to win, but also in the back of your head, you've just suffered and suffered and suffered. You're like, oh man, this is mentally, I don't want to suffer again, but you have to.
And Rowan accused me of trying to mind fuck him and say, oh, well, you just bluffing about not being sore. But I wasn't sore for the first 4 days. The first 4 days, I was genuinely like, I feel like I've done a workout, but I'm not like, oh, my glutes or oh, my whatever. So by the end of it, on Friday, I was so sore from the Thursday workout, because we did the order slightly different to the guys out there. We did the 3-can-1 on Thursday as workout 5. So going into the last one, I was really sore. I really struggled on that last one.
Yeah, definitely. It was tough, especially doing some of the workouts in the middle of the day. That kind of just fried the nervous system for the rest of that day.
Yeah, especially the running ones. I do like, though, thinking about what you said about having competition days through the week, and I'm trying to have that mentality in myself, is you can't do what we did for a week long for training and go absolutely ruthless on training for 7 days straight and expect to survive or be able to make progress even. Like, you might survive, but you wouldn't be thriving and you wouldn't be making progress with your training. I think having days where you intentionally go into it as a training session, it's a training workout, versus a competing workout where you go in there and it's like, oh, we're going head to head, we're going to try and push ourselves and race for it. And having training days to go like, and I use this analogy, like if it was a sport and you were turning up to practice, you're going to basketball practice, you'd practicing your layups, you practice your footwork, you practice drills, you do all these sport specific drills you'd practice, is you've got to treat gym training the same way for the majority of your training. I feel like you can treat your gym training the same way. So if we look at the RISE program, 365 days in the year, there's one rest day per week. So that gives us 310-ish workouts or sessions a year. Let's say there's 10 of those where we just do strength and endurance training, so there's no workouts. So let's say there's 200 workouts to do per year. Imagine if all 200 of those workouts you went absolutely tits on and just crush yourself and competed every time. Your intensity and your drop off through the week would probably be considerable.
I reckon you'd actually get worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you'd get worse. Just literally, like, because you push yourself so hard, your intensity's going to drop, your mindset's going to drop. You're not going to be able to think about going in and attacking your workout. Mm. Your mindset's going to change from, oh, I'm going to absolutely beast this workout, to I'm going to try survive.
Mm. It's so hard though. Like, I'm the same, and I tell people this, I say this to people all the time, but I'm the worst at it, is to try and switch that off when you know it's just a workout. Oh, you're just doing a 10 minute AMRAP, but you're going to beat the person next to you, versus picking an ulterior training objective, like, oh, I'm going to try and stay unbroken on my wall balls, even if it means I don't get as good a score, but I need to get better at wall balls, so I'm going to pick that one thing and hammer that. And that's what you should be doing with this, because it's training. And sometimes we set the workouts up so it is in that format where you have to train, so you get a training adaptation versus just a competing experience. But I think more people need to be aware of, like, trying to pick things that they need to work on, because otherwise you're not going to make progress. And if you look at this as like, oh, I want to do better in the Open next year, or I want to get competitive with CrossFit, or I want to learn and get better and develop and make progress, you have to take all those opportunities to build weaknesses. Like, I gave someone who I know is not an awesome runner, they had a workout that was running stepovers and toaster bar, but I know they're good at stepovers and toaster bar, but not great at running. So I was like, push the runs, even if it comes at the expense of the other movements, because then we're going to get the adaptation and work on the weaknesses from that person's.
Yeah, it's a pretty smart way of looking at it. Myself and Tyler did one 2 days ago, and it was 21:59 cals on the bike and toaster bar, and we both just said, look, we're going to try go unbroken on toaster bar and make them all look really good, which meant we both had to go slower on the bike.
Nice.
Finish the bike, take a breather before jumping up to make sure that those toaster bar did look good. It was a slower workout, very low intensity, but we got our proper training adaptation that we wanted. We wanted a good core stimulus and to work on those toaster bars, so we got that out of it. It can be tough though when there's three of us training.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's in that environment, everyone's got to hold themselves accountable as well. Like, as coaches, the guys in the classes have got us to be like, oh, let's try this, or trying to manipulate the session for them to make them more aware of what they could be working on. But for us, I think it's some team accountability. Like the other day, you guys agreeing to go slow on the toaster bar. So we're not racing, we're trying to, who can do the unbroken toaster bar, make them look pretty. Yeah. Or what was the one we did? The zone 2 day, so you can get closest to 2 minute pace. Man. It's still a competition, but it's not ruining your training.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the most like genius ideas.
Usually when there's, actually, tell them that idea.
So you go, I go, 500 meter row for five rounds, and it was supposed to be for time. But we'd both trained quite hard, were quite sore, and wanted a big train day, so we turned it into a recovery workout. So we just did one for one work to rest, but it was see who could get the closest to an exact 2 minute pace, which for two 95 to 100 kilo blokes is not that fast a pace, it's a recovery pace, but the competition was still there because it was who could get the closest to being the slowest pace type thing versus pushing the pace. And that was a really genius way to put a spin on still having fun doing training without forcing yourself to just be like, oh, I'm just going to do a recovery day. Because, and again, we talk about making the hard decision. The hard decision is to not always trash yourself in workouts because that's what you want to do because you feel like you get more training out of it. So the hard decision is to reel it back in. But we could still enjoy having a bit of a competition, and it was just like, oh, you were one over, oh, you were one under, whatever, whatever, which just became fun. And we still stayed within the stimulus, which was recovery.
Yeah, it probably made something that would have been boring otherwise a bit more enjoyable.
Or like it would have been unfocused training. We would just zoned out and just chatted through the 500 meter row and got less out of it. Whereas we had some good focus, some good intentional training at a very manageable pace, which we didn't need to recover from. Which, and again, people listen to this and we're probably talking to a crowd that's interested in being more competitive. But then, and that's talking about making progress in the gym. Everybody who comes to the gym will want to make, or should be wanting to make progress, regardless of what their goals are. Progress is progress. And you're not going to make progress if you're training too hard and you're not recovering from that process. So if you're coming in and whether you want to get competitive with CrossFit or not, or you want to compete in competitions, if you're coming in and you're hammering yourself every day and not giving your body a chance to recover, you're probably not going to get as much from the next session. So knowing when to push and when to work on a different part of it. And I think guys that come in and just do the base program that aren't maybe as experienced are probably thinking, I'm just going to come in and do every workout to the best of my ability as hard as I can. Might be seem like the most logical way to get fitter and get stronger, but if you understand that the body needs to recover and you're going to get benefit from putting more effort into one part of the workout than the other, you'd probably end up making more progress.
Yeah, you talk about it a lot with sub goals within a workout. People could probably benefit a little bit more from focusing on those. So in mine and Tyler's workout, bike and toes to bar, our sub goal was really good toes to bar and don't care about the bike. In the program you made for your client who isn't as good at running but good at the other things, the sub goal was get better at running in this session and don't worry about the others.
Yeah.
Today's session is focused on getting better at running, whereas a lot of people would look at it and be like, oh, I'll go fast on the stuff I'm good at and I'll try just survive on the stuff I'm not good at, and they won't get
better at the stuff they're not good at.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So that's Inferno. That's the major sporting event that's happened in the last few days. The other less important sporting event that happened was the CrossFit Games. And then the other sporting event that's even less important was the Olympics. That's also been going on. But Inferno is definitely the most prestigious sporting event that's happened in the last 2 weeks.
If you think about it, how many Olympic medals are they giving out?
Loads.
They're not giving out many Inferno t-shirts.
No, we might be getting one or two.
Yeah.
Whereas, as the one chick, she had 7 medals.
Greedy.
Greedy. Yeah, but did you watch the games? Did you watch much of it?
I think I saw every event of the games, which was kind of hard to keep track of because they all went on through the middle of the night.
Yeah, time zone wasn't the most easiest to navigate. I'm the same with the Olympics, so I don't really watch any of it. I watched Friday night because I wasn't working the next day. And I went back and watched some of the like more exciting heats the next day, but I don't watch that much of it. I don't think it's that interesting to watch.
The Olympics?
Both. Games.
Okay, both, cross. Yeah.
Like, the Olympics, I'm not going to watch it live, but I'll watch they've got the heavyweight lifters today.
Yeah.
But for the games, I was just like, if I wake up and check the scoreboard, I'm like, ooh, okay, this happened. I don't care that much to watch it.
Yeah, definitely. I think I did watch it all, but with the help of a fast forward button.
Yeah.
To sieve through the parts I didn't really care for.
I mean, there's probably, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about it now, there's probably, as a coach, there's elements to go through and learn and be like, oh, I wonder like why this person has done this way, or I wonder what their training has been like to get them to do that. And there's a lot of probably analyzing you can do to understand the performances of the people that are doing what we do every day on the highest level and get a better understanding. But as a sport, I wasn't that interested in it this year.
No, I literally each workout watched the first, if it's a 20 minute workout, watched the first minute.
Yeah.
Watched minute 10 to see what's going on in the middle, has ending changed since the first minute, and then watched minute 20 and right. I was like, aye.
Did you watch I said that I didn't watch it. I had it on while I was making dinner, the toaster bar run one.
That was a severe fast forward workout.
It was, but I just left it going in the background because I was making dinner, so my hands were dirty, so I couldn't change it. But Bowden Brown, the Aussie guy who was winning that event up until the last 4 toaster bar, he's a real good runner. He hammered they did a triathlon in the Australian sectional. What do they call them now?
Semi-final?
Yeah, the semifinals, the continentals. That's the funny word for it, continentals. That's the sanctional version. Yeah, the semifinal, he won. There was a 5K true form runner. I think it was a 5K for true form runner into a something, whatever they did. And he won that. He hammered it, apparently. I think he was he's a big dude, but I think it was him who's a unit at running. And he was leading that comfortably for ages and then got under his last set of 30 toes to broken. And then Lazar Dukic, however you say his name is, he came out of nowhere and he was like quite far behind on the run, but he just had a faster cycle rate and a toaster bar. So for 20 minutes of a 20 minute workout, he was leading, and then 20 seconds left, this fella made a move at the end and overtook him. Which another thing, how incredible is that? They ran, it was 5K pretty much.
What were the exact measurements for this? Do we know?
It was 4.8K.
Okay, yeah. So almost 5K.
Yeah, 2.4.
Not so much of a difference.
4.8K in 2021 was the fastest times with 90 toaster bar.
It was pretty sick.
So take 90 toaster bar out. So that's like, if you go unbroken for 90 toaster bar, that's at least going to be 90 seconds. At least 90 seconds. So take 90 seconds off 220 is now 18 minutes.
Fast 5Ks.
Well, sub 19 minutes. Mm. And then if you round that up to 20K, that's still a sub 20 minute 5K whilst doing all that hip flexion.
And the weather over there is pretty similar. Well, I don't know how similar it is here. It's pretty hot.
It's pretty warm. Yeah, I don't think it's quite Dubai, but it wasn't It wasn't optimal running conditions for sure. That's an incredible click.
I'm sure it must have been over 30 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Pushing towards 40, maybe.
Yeah, it was hot. I just thought that was amazing. And I was having this conversation with somebody the other day talking about how they hate how they claim the CrossFit Games is the fittest person in the world. And I was like, yeah, I think it's a bit wanky to be like, oh, we're crowning the fittest, because as open as the open is to everybody, it's still quite a limited pool, and you probably have got outliers around the world that could probably, who aren't that interested in doing the sport, which could probably give them a run for money. When you think about it, is when they're on the 10 components of fitness, being able to run a sub 20 minute 5K and being able to snatch nearly 300 pounds and being able to walk on your hands and do free time and push-ups, I think it is impressive. Because one thing that I always underestimate is the level of strength and fitness they need, but also the skill acquisition. Is you took a weightlifter and give them, like, they could probably learn gymnastics quite quickly because it's kinetic awareness, they could probably pick it up. But then to make him go out and have the balance, stability and agility to be able to run a hard 5K, there's no way.
No. Actually, speaking of Olympic weightlifters, did you see the New Zealand girl, boy, whatever you want to call her?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Bombed. DNF.
Three missed snatches. Yeah. So the transgender girl.
Laurel Hubbard.
Mrs. Hubbard.
So I wanted to speak to Jordan about this podcast. I think he'd have an interesting opinion on it. But I said I wouldn't do it because you can see all the listeners, and then minus 1% of our listeners, it's male, female, or like did not wish to disclose. No. Over there. And there was 1%. So I was like, I don't want to offend this person by giving transgenders a hard time. But I think that whole thing was bullshit.
Flat out. Say it like it is, buddy.
Honestly. So, and this is another thing, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but there's a Netflix TV show called, what's it called? It's like a health thing, the body or the human or something like
More
that.
More bullshit.
Oh my God. But this show was actually quite interesting in terms of the topics they were covering. Okay. And because Em's expecting, we watched the birth one. And they just picked a really weird cast to talk about having babies. So there was a dude in there who was a female.
Yeah.
Transgender to male.
Mm.
That's absolutely awesome. Like,
go for
it. If that's what you want to do, I fully support that. You were a female and you identify as a male. You do you, bro. But then you don't get to go, oh, but I want to, as a female, I have the right to know what it feels like to deliver a baby. I'm like, haven't you given up that right by identifying as a male?
I don't think you can have both.
So this person was a female.
You make your bed and lay in it.
Changed to a male, got pregnant. No, got married. So it was a female to a male. Married a female.
Okay.
Female didn't want to have a baby. The male wanted to have a baby and experience that. And because they still had the same, I think they had the penis cut off, but they had the same organs.
Yeah.
So they couldn't deliver. No, wait, they didn't have the penis in the first place. But they had all the female reproductive organs. But they chose to identify as a male and carried and delivered this baby as a male.
Mm.
So how do you go, I don't identify as a female, I identify as a male, but I want the rights that females have to deliver babies?
It's a bit messy. I think, like, look, if you have the ability to have a baby, go for it.
Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, go for it, whatever. Like, that's cool. I mean, have a baby. But, like, I think the identity of that person, you can't really be like, okay, you can't really call yourself a man.
Honestly, do whatever you want. No one's going to stop you. Like, do whatever the fuck you can.
If you want to have a baby and you're a man, go for it. I mean, fantastic.
Obviously, I've got absolutely no objections to anyone doing anything they want to do. But yeah. I just think the whole thing's like, you can't go, well, you can do it. Yeah. But you can't go, I want to be this. No, I'm going to be that, but I'm also going to do that as well. That's having your cake and eating it a bit.
Mm, yeah, I'm not sure about that. But definitely within the Olympics, I'm kind of like, what? Like, that is just not fair.
Hard no.
absolute zero chance. And I don't know how the Olympic Committee have been like, oh no, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because then you'll just have every male who's unable to reach the top level just be like, okay, I'll just swap to a female. And then no longer females will ever have a chance of...
Every above average weightlifter who failed as a male weightlifter can now go smash the women in women's weightlifting.
Could you smash the women in the weightlifting?
No. That weight category, the chick that won it, snatched 140 and clean and jerked 180.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, there's no way. So not only is she female and I'm male, but she's 13 kilos lighter than me and lifting... What's that? Snatching 60 pounds more.
You've got work to do, buddy.
Cleaning, jerking 80 pounds more.
Well, look, to make you feel better, I think you would have won the lift in the 64. CrossFit Games.
As a female?
As a female, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have won the male. The male was outrageous.
If I competed as a female at the CrossFit, a transgender CrossFit Games, then I would have won the female.
You would have won the female max snatch, was it? Snatch, yeah.
Potentially.
We'd hope so.
Which was also an interesting event because they did that with the cleans the year before.
Mm.
And they did it with snatches this time. So Casho had said when it was, did you listen to any of the Savam interviews he did between the events? They had like a daily catch up thing.
No.
Which half of them were bullshit. And then Savam just wants to talk shit. And Casho's like, this is terrible. You're asking really shit questions. Ask better questions. Because he only had like 5 minutes a day. So he's like, you're ruining my brand and your listeners. You're wasting their time by asking these shit questions. Ask better questions. It was actually quite funny. And he was saying, ask me about the game. Stop asking me about dumb shit. Like, stop asking me about Matt Fraser. Ask me about stuff you want to know from the day. And he was like, why did you do the snatch or whatever? He said, we were going to do it at Aromas. It was planned to do the thing, but there's only 5 hours, so it seemed like a waste. So we saved it for the next year. So they did the same format, one person lifting at a time, went through it that way. And Annie hit 200. Tia won that one, but she missed 205 as well, which would have been a PR for her. But man, snatching 200 pounds. But then there was other chicks at semifinals that snatched more than 200.
I remember in Ireland in the Filthy 150, watching Sarah Sigmund's daughter attempt 100 kg, which is 225.
225.
Which would have smoked everybody.
Yeah. Mia Heskiff snatched that in competition. I think it was in Dubai. And it was the heaviest snatch in a sanctioned CrossFit event. It was 225.
Yeah. So slightly lighter from the females this year.
But I just think the average, because if you look at how many people are snatching up to that weight now, like 200 is the new 185 and 300 for the guys is the new 275. And it used to be like a couple of years ago, that like, oh, if you're not snatching 275, you're probably not going to win the games. Now it's if you're not snatching 300, you're probably not going to win the games. Mm. Having said that, Medeiros did win the games and he...
285, I think.
Yeah. What's also interesting is I find this not fascinating, but it is quite interesting how he only won one event. And it was the last one.
I think that's a really good sign of a champion.
Yeah, because that means he didn't have any poor performances. I've got his scoring up here. And the fact that he only won one event and still won by 80 points, his worst place was a 15th.
So I've got a question on those. So do you know the way, let's say, if Justin Medeiros and Pat Fellner finished on the same amount of points?
Yeah.
It would go down to who has the most wins.
Yeah.
That's the tiebreak.
Yeah.
I don't think... You might be able to change my mind, but I actually don't agree with that.
Yeah, Fellner had 3 event wins.
Okay, so yeah. So if they tied on points, Fellner would have won.
Yeah.
And I don't agree on that. So that means that Fellner is outstanding at 3 things, but he's also terrible at 3 other things.
You think it should go in worst place?
I don't know. I don't think place. I think they need to find another way or have a tiebreaker.
50 cal.
50 cal by the time. They need to have something. I just don't agree with it. Because if you're Vellner and you've won 5 events, but you've came last in 5 events, you're not a well-rounded athlete.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Whereas if you're Medeiros and you come 3rd in every workout, you're pretty well-rounded. You can do anything.
So the training think tank guys did a podcast after the first day, and they brought up a very good point, is Vellner came 35th, which is nearly last on the first event, then won the second event. He was halfway up the table because he won one, lost one. So he's in the middle now, and then he came 3rd, and after that it was 5th place. So despite finishing 35th on an event, he still managed to pull it to a fifth, which is part of the sport as well. But you're right. If you've got one major hole in your game, can you claim that you're the fittest and most well-rounded? And that's another thing we talked about. I talked about the naming the fittest on the CrossFit Games. Maybe it's not the fittest, but the most well-rounded athlete in the world, because you can run, swim, lift, so maybe it's well-rounded. Yeah. If you're coming dead last on, nearly dead last in a swim event, you probably don't deserve to be the fittest, or you should probably do something about your swimming events.
Probably do something about swimming events.
And another thing is the training thing. One of the training think tank coach, Adam Rogers, always talks about having a different scoring system where it rewards athletes for doing better on performances. Like Jonakowski won that swim.
Oh, I saw that.
By minutes.
They were like, he deserves more points.
Exactly. Which I think is cool, because then if you go on, let's say it's a max snatch and you snatch 12 pounds more than someone, you get a 12 point buffer. And then because it incentivizes people. If you're winning and the next person behind you miles away, but the next person behind them is miles away, you're not going to push yourself to get closer to the first person. But if you close a 2 minute gap, you're going to be incentivized to make that a minute and a half or a 1 minute gap, so you don't lose as much points.
Yeah.
That'd be such an interesting way
to
do it.
It'd make it more exciting.
That'd be a way more interesting way to doing it. Because they brought out, Morning Chalk Up made a post before the last two events, saying Tia mathematically has already won, because if she came fifth and fifth and Laura Hovarth, who was second, came 100th, then
100th
or got 100 points, sorry, yeah, she would still be second place. So going into the second two events, it was already tied up. No matter what happened,
Tia had won.
Tia could have done one rep and Laura could have crushed it and it wouldn't have made a difference. Whereas if it was based on a point separator, how well you did, you got more points for doing better, then maybe there's more incentive to work than that situation. Mm. And it might not be as conclusive. What do you think of the program in general of the games across the 15 events?
I liked it. I probably would have... Not that I'm a genius programmer.
I don't know.
It's not my biggest strength. It's probably one of your better strengths. Wouldn't be one of mine. But I'd probably have liked to see more CrossFit style events, which are, we'll say, your basic workouts, your
couplets,
friends,
triplets.
Couplets, triplets. Yeah. More of those kind of things. And then the second last event...
Oh man,
I thought, yeah, wow, and like the best guys did come out on top on that, which is good, but I just thought that's a bit of a circus event.
Oh yeah, I think there's party trick. You see the meme go around of the cat in dungaree standing there going, what the fuck are they doing over there? Like, if you don't know what CrossFit is, you're not going to appreciate the difficulty of that, and you're going to be like, what the fuck is this? Why CrossFit has a bad name? That's the highest pinnacle of the sport. Like, the one thing that people who aren't into CrossFit are most likely going to see. And that's the reputation of it. People fucking trying to do freestanding handstand push-ups. Impressive to do freestanding handstand push-ups.
Insane, yeah.
Insane. But I don't think it's like, what if that event was you had to accumulate a 30-second freestanding handstand hold instead of doing the push-ups? Would that be in a better... Do you think that would have been a better workout? So you do 4 or 5 deadlift for reps and you got to accumulate 30 seconds. I know it would have been annoying to, as a spectator...
Yeah,
because you wouldn't see them advance over the lines. But I think as a test, a freestanding handstand hold versus like... swinging around on your neck and trying to like do retarded handstand push-ups.
Yeah, I think like if we keep going this way, we're going to end up like, oh, who can hold himself on one finger and who can balance on who can walk on one hand, you know?
Who can do the most cock push-ups?
Who can do the most backflips and stuff like that? And you're just like, oh, well, no, it's a fucking someone from the circus is going to win this.
Yeah. Lapel or what do you call him? Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil, yeah.
Get some of those boys down.
But yeah, really impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. Which event did you... Okay, so there's that one. I thought that was a bit of a dud. What other events do you think weren't great fits for the weekend? Was there any that you thought like, oh, this isn't really... there's no point doing this event. The length of the first one?
Would you have shortened it?
I think so, because I think on those, like, very challenging to swim for that long, very challenging to kayak for that long, at that intensity, very challenging. And they need a long event to test the long event, but I think it's...
it was too long that nothing changed after 20 minutes.
That one thing, but also I think there's... It's not... Like, those movements to do for that long, there's going to... People aren't going to be able to push and change the leaderboard or have an impact on the score once you're into it, because you're either a good swimmer or you're not. Whereas if it was something like a longer, like the triple three, for example, or something of that caliber where you can have this change on the leaderboard, there's potentials for the leaderboard to change, there's all these other different things. I thought doing that event for that long, it was kind of like, we know who's going to win, who's going to place where 5 minutes into it.
Yeah.
And then fair enough, there's people still have to perform, and it's not that they're not doing it for to make it interesting to view. But I think as a test, that one was probably a bit too long. I think it would have been more interesting if it was shorter, because it would have been a more frantic competition.
Yeah, or they could have made it more exciting in some way. I've done like 10 rounds of 50-meter swim and 100-meter kayak or something. Something
like that.
That might have been a bit more exciting to watch. Obviously, you can't do it. The logistics of that don't work. Or you could have done something else for your long event and put a swim event into a couplet or a triplet. Yeah.
Like a triathlon would have been more interesting, like a mini tri or a sprint tri or something like that, where you have the three elements and there's the transitions and there's the different elements to be able to excel on, because you're not a great swimmer, you can make it up on the bike. I think that would have been more interesting to watch.
Yeah, that'd have been pretty cool. Yeah.
I thought the short run event was cool, but a weird layout, like a 500 meter run on those two weird turns and the angle into the stadium. And fair enough, you've got your grounds, it's all you can do with it.
You got to work with what you got.
But how much would that be in a better event if it was a 400 meter on a track?
Yeah, way better.
Yeah,
with a track.
Way more fun to watch on a track, like give them spikes if they want to fucking run properly and like see an actual pure power.
That would be cool.
That would have been better to watch, I reckon. Or even like a straight line, just fucking like I reckon the layout for that could have been better. I think that was a great event and a good test, because they've done long, so they did short.
Yeah, previously they've done like lengths of the football field.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
With like hurdles.
But that's probably tough.
And the around the cones and stuff like that, or with a sled or something. But I think if you'd put just a track 400 meter run, I would have enjoyed that more.
So what was your favorite event to watch?
The clean run one.
Yeah, that was exciting.
For sure. And didn't you find it was so weird how so few people finished the first one? The lighter cleans, and so many finished the second one. The run was obviously the length of the run made the first workout really challenging, because they shortened it for the second one. But I couldn't believe how many people hit the heavy weights that didn't hit all the first weights.
Yeah, it was mad. People obviously aren't as good at lifting under fatigue.
Or are not as strong as they are fit, because the fitness element became the limiter and the strength wasn't the limiter. Because when you give them more time and a shorter run, they can still do the strength work. But when it's a tighter fit to get that work, and it was a more challenging event. But I just thought that was interesting. I thought you'd have less people finishing the second one based on the performances from the first. Do you see the differences in when they took off on the first workout as like sprint, and the second one is like go, and then they were like, oh, we're just going to jog around the corner. Yeah.
That new kid, I don't know how new he is. I've just never seen him in a Brazilian. He was impressive.
Yeah, very strong. I follow him. I don't follow him, but I've seen lifts of him on Instagram, and he's put some impressive numbers up over the years. He's very strong.
An absolute powerhouse.
Yeah. So it's events like that where it kind of favors a more powerful athlete, where it's not a 20-minute workout, it's a sub-6-minute workout, where you can hang on for the cardio part and express your strength on the heavy barbell. It was a great event for him, and he obviously showed that. And then winning the snatch as well, obviously, is strong.
That snatch was, to be like, give him props, it was insane.
His
speed under the bar was,
and he looked like he had way more in him.
Way more.
Yeah, and did it in nanos.
For the extra 10K. But yeah, his speed under the bar and his receiving position being so strong.
Yeah.
And his speed under the bar were just crazy impressive.
I'm sure I've seen him snatch more than that as well.
He definitely got more in him.
Yeah.
If you saw a lot of other people, when they get to the heavier bar, there's a little bit of a shake in the bottom, or they have to sit in the bottom to stabilize it for a while or whatever. He was solid.
What about the amount of withdrawals there were? There's a lot of injuries. So when they made the first cut, they were supposed to cut 10 athletes. They only cut 4 because they had 6 athletes pull out, male and female, before the first cut. So instead of cutting 10, they only had to cut 4 males, 4 females. There was the 2 girls that got COVID. The 3 girls, actually, because it was Cara Saunders as well.
She had a previous and then pulled out because of it.
So there's those 3. And then Brooke Wells got injured later. Danny Spiegel withdrew from injury. There was just a bunch of chicks that withdrew, and dudes that just pulled out from getting hurt. There's a lot of withdrawals.
I think from the females and the ones I know, I'm kind of like, that's just freak accidents.
Nothing.
Danny Spiegel came off a rope funny or whatever and landed on her ankle, which rarely happens athletes, and she didn't do anything wrong for that to happen, but
yeah.
And then Who was it? Wells?
Yeah, that snatch.
Dislocated her elbow.
I'm trying to find the list of people who... Oh, yeah. Cuts by Castro, okay? Cuts by COVID or other. COVID was Pierce, Shadman, Saunders. Munwiler got injured. Spiegel got injured. Sweeney got injured. Sam Stewart got injured. Ilin, I think, was the Russian girl. And then Krennikov. Oh, and all the Russians had visa issues apart from the Brazilian girl who got tested positive. Yeah. So then you had to cut four athletes of each. Crazy.
I and was listening to Train Think Tank, and I think Sam as well had an injury going in, was it?
I don't know if it was going in, but he definitely struggled with a bicep. I can't remember if he said it was going in, but it was a bicep tear or a bicep tendon.
Maybe it wasn't. So who was... Oh, it was actually, sorry, it was Scott Panchik that I was thinking of had an injury going in.
He was the other one. Who?
I don't think he pulled out, though. He finished,
didn't he? No, he finished.
Yeah. Not well. Well,
he didn't do terribly. He still came top 20 in his last games, but it was his knee. So he got hammered by all the running workouts because he couldn't run and there was so many running workouts. Then went and won the handstand walk. Didn't need his knee for that, so I'm going to win. And Fikowski, who was struggling with a hamstring injury apparently for the last 2 days, he also suffered on the running ones because of it, but managed to pull through and hold on for third place.
He'd usually be better at a running workout.
Yeah, that running toaster bar won his pace. He was the last guy onto the toaster bar, apparently. Maybe. So yeah, a lot of injuries. Do you think that's anything to do with the fact that there wasn't really a season last year? Not used to competition, even though they did quarter semis, full season this year, having a year off, not used to, maybe some of the athletes weren't used to being used to that much volume. Not used to going 5 days of training in a row or 4 days of training in a row. Not used to that many events in a condensed weekend.
That could be a factor, yeah. Yeah, I think when people are out of practice of competition, competition has a big effect. Like even us last week, we hadn't competed like that 5 days in a row.
Yeah. Because I think as well is the more experienced guys weather better across the weekend. So yeah. I remember Julian Pinot always saying the guy who win the CrossFit Games is the guy who can perform on Sunday like they were on Thursday or will do best at the Games. And it's because if you can recover well enough and you're more enduring and you can survive the weekend that you can still score big points at the end of a weekend. And a lot of that's physical and then recovery, but quite mental as well. Is you look at guys who are seasoned athletes are still finishing where they finish on the day one versus day two, whereas you get a lot of the new guys come in and they hammer day one and then their workouts seem to dip towards the end of the weekend because they just get a bit fatigued and they get a bit burnt out and they can't survive on Sunday. Whereas if you look at like Olsen, Panchek, Mayer, those guys who they didn't win, but they were scoring where they scored on day one, they were scoring the same-ish on day four. There wasn't that much of a drop-off, and whereas less variance in the scoring, whereas you look at the like Daniel Brandon's not been many times before and she had a great first couple of days but dropped off, and the new girls like Mal O'Brien and Emma Carey who did amazing.
Yeah,
their first 2 days were much better than the last days and they were like struggling to hold on the last 2 days compared to the first 2 days, and I think that again is a bit of an experience thing and not used to being able to tolerate that volume through the weekend. I was find that quite interesting.
Yeah, because when are you ever going to get that intensity where you're competing at that intensity for 5 days in a row.
Yeah. And then Fraser always takes like a full month or so off of all moving and all training afterwards because it's just so hard to go through that experience. You can't train like that very often. What do you think is going to happen now with all the... So a lot of the older guys are kind of like, not past it, but like the Olsons, the Mayers, they're not where they used to be. Panchek's retiring. Mm. Fikowski and Velno are still there. I was surprised with those two, to be honest.
Well done to them.
Someone asked me beforehand, what do you think they'll do? And I think they'll get... I said, oh, they'll get cut and complain about it. But they came second and third. I was very impressed.
Yeah, and Goodmanson.
Yeah.
Man. Fourth.
So he's been top... Brilliant. He's been top... Something like top eight for the last 7 years.
Monster.
How mad is that? How mad's that?
I saw someone post recently an elite athlete who is looking to go try get himself to the CrossFit Games. And he was saying, these are the things that don't favor me, but I'm going to give it a go anyway. It wasn't Tyler. This fellow was 31 years old. So he was like, things that don't favor me, I'm too heavy for the sport at the moment. I need to lose weight and muscle.
Was it me?
It wasn't you. But yeah, and then they also mentioned that they were 31 years old, so they're like aging on my side. But then I was like, if you look at the top three or top four,
it's definitely me.
Dave Lee, top four, they're all 30 years old. Yeah. On the button, Vellner's 30, Fatowski's 30, Gudmundsson's 30.
Mm. So interesting. But then, like,
experience. So and Pancik was Pancik fifth?
Saxon Pancik.
Oh, okay, Saxon. He's a younger fella.
Little Sax.
Saxon Jr.
Jonikoski is so young. The Brazilian fella, I can't say his name at all.
Don't even try.
No, Olsen's nearly 30. Travis Mears 34. I think 34. As old as hell. Yeah, but then look at Sam Briggs. 40.
Beast.
Old as hell. I think females will age better than guys. I think guys will have a shorter... you know, Tia's 28.
No way.
She's 28. She's Commonwealth Games medalist and 5 times CrossFit Games medalist at 28. She's and got at least 5 years in her. And an Olympian. She's got at least 5 years in her.
Do you think so? The let's say the men's window is a lot shorter than females, because you're looking at females coming in at 17 years old.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at females like Sam Briggs leaving at 40.
Yeah.
Do you think eventually we could have a woman that like dominates for 12 years?
Yeah, possible.
Same as like Roger Federer or something like that. Or
we'll look at Annie had done, this was her 11th year. She spanned, her first game was 2009. So she's spanned 3 decades.
Yeah.
So that's 11 years of competing at a pretty high level. So I think for females, there's the potential, maybe even guys, there's probably... women are usually more enduring, they peak a little bit later, and I think there's things like they're not able to express as much intensity in terms of power and strength, so they're probably not going to get as beaten up over the course of a career. So I think there's that element, and women just last longer, they're better at longer workouts, they're better at more workouts, I just think they're more enduring. So I think there's probably some science behind it, but I think women are strong. Ah, there's another thing as well. This is true. This is also from that weird Netflix TV show, is when a sperm goes to the ovary, the female sperms, its side of it's a female, are slower swimmers, but they can survive the journey, whereas guy sperms are faster sperms, so they've got to get there quick before they die.
Now, that is a fun fact.
Yeah, and that's probably why CrossFit Games athletes last longer.
Female CrossFit Games athletes last longer.
Female CrossFit Games athletes last longer.
Guys got to get in and get out.
Yeah. Whereas women are more enduring. Medeiros,
you've got 5 years.
Nice and slow.
Malroy O'Brien, you've got 20 years probably.
20 years. You'll be doing this when you're 37.
That's a crazy range, isn't it? She's 17 and Briggs is 40. 40.
Yeah, something like that. She like literally could have...
another 23 years in her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if you had someone like her win like 12, 15 years in a row. It'd be so boring.
I think no one will, if a Tia could do, whether she wants to or not, if she, as long as she's competing, she'll win.
Yeah, she could do another 5 years.
Yeah, so I think as long as she stays healthy and doesn't get drug tested and, or like, is legit the whole way, I think she can win it for as long as she wants. And I think anyone else who's fighting for second on the off chance that she gets injured. And
do you think that... in like, obviously Fraser pulled out at a really good time for himself. He was like, look, I'm done, I'm finished, that was me.
Yeah.
Do you think that the level they train at and the intensity they have to train at, not all year round but almost all year round, do you think that mentally that's a challenge to go back year after year after year?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably the hardest part. I think the physical training isn't as tough as that. Like the discipline, like when he retired, his letter was like, that's when I realized that, oh fuck, this is pretty serious. So he's like, when we come up to games training, he can't ride his motorcycle in case he has an accident. He doesn't use a steak knife so he doesn't like accidentally cut his finger. Like the things you have to think about, like imagine being on, like that on, everything, your entire existence was focused around competing for that one thing. And I'm sure it's the same in all sports at the highest level, like Olympians, I'm sure it's the same. Like 4 years, and probably the last year of that 4 years are so focused because you're just going to put everything into that one thing. That's probably the hardest thing. Like you can't go out for a beer with your mates. You can't be like, oh no, I'm gonna skip training today, I can't be bothered. Like
I have to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and I have to be up at, you know, 8 the next morning or 10 the next morning. I have to get 10 hours sleep.
Insane. Like that'd be the hardest part for sure. I don't think, because then someone was saying the other day, it was Mo Farah went, what's the difference between me and all these world record holders? Is it that they live in villages where their whole life is just living, breathing, running, whereas me, I'm off to the cinema with my mates on the weekend. So he cut all that out and he got infinitely better. And that's the difference, is you have to be all in on this or you're never going to make. You could be really, really, really good and still be
it's almost a waste being that good.
Yeah, but it depends on what your goal is. Let's say you've got a living something where you don't have to worry about competing to make money in a profession, and you could get to like semifinals, even qualify for the games and put 80% of your potential in, and then 20% could be like, oh, I'm off out for a burger with the mates or whatever. But they're probably like, this is going to probably be a really unfair example, but if you look at someone like Cam Porter, who's a phenomenal athlete, really impressive, been around for years, but never won the games and has missed out a couple of times. But he also loves a beer and he also likes to dick around with his mates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas had he went, nah, I'm all in, nothing for a year, would that be the difference?
Yeah, he's probably been able to enjoy himself a little bit more than Matt the last 5 years.
Exactly.
He's probably been happier.
And it's the same with just like training in the gym. Like if you went 100% in, you'd definitely get better results. But is it worth it? Do you want to be so insanely in shape but be a miserable fuck that you don't go out at all and don't have any life just to get that result? Or do you want 80% of that in 80% and maybe a little bit longer time frame, but you're happy as fuck?
Yeah.
100%.
We're definitely at that 80% mark, aren't we?
80-20. Someone messaged me the other day and it was posted yesterday, videos of us training. He says, oh man, it's so good to see you youngsters training and having fun. I was just like, I wish.
Me and Tyler.
Well, it was me. It was coming
would
on
you
me.
Go away?
I went, I'd love to be one of the youngsters. I'm just trying to, these boys are keeping me young.
Just trying to fit in.
Yeah. So this guy, fellow 31 years old, CrossFit Games. The one you were talking about before?
Yep. We're looking to get to the CrossFit Games. So qualified before.
There's still hope for me?
Still hope for you, yeah. And he is probably at a similar weight too.
Interesting.
He's probably got a bit more muscle.
I've got no hope. Now they're doing freestanding handstand push-ups. Can you imagine? Do you know what's funny? All the people trying it the next day. I'm going to, had to try it. Had to. You didn't have to try
Craig
it.
Craig was like,
Someone came up to me and said, can we try it? I was just like, not in my fucking session. You can't. You want to go fall on your head on your own, do that. It's okay, but
go into the corner there and hit your head off the ground if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. No problem. But yeah, I won't be trying those.
Yeah, I haven't looked at those and been like, I suppose I'm kind of, I'd like to be like, I wonder, can I do them?
What I noticed, everyone who doesn't know how to do them, they all fell over on the second one. So did one, came up, and then went down and fell over because the momentum of the handstand walks feet over. So you've got to learn to walk forward with your feet in front of you, not behind you.
Talk to Megan.
I'm not going to do it. Now I'm going to be a professional turf games athlete. I'm not going to qualify for the games.
Professional turf games?
Yeah, we'll wait for that to become a real sport.
James Wright, watch your back.
Watch out, Alioth, we're coming for you. That's much more up my street. There's no handstand push-ups. There's no muscle-ups. There's no...
Probably loads of beers after.
Loads of beer, and then just weightlift. And now, because they've got my weightlifting in cardio machines.
Boom.
Hilarious. It's right up my street.
We'll do that.
When that becomes a professional sport, I'm going to be a professional turf games athlete at 34.
Man, we've got a sick run up to the turf games.
So this is, we've registered now. This is us stating our claim that we're going to win turf games. 2021 champions.
Boom.
Base tree.
Heard it here first.
Right, you've got to go catch a flight.
Hasta la vista.